Hey, Mark. Matt Smith, Southern Pigskin. You'll be happy to know that Mike and Steven only wanted to talk about Southern Miss. I tried, but they were taking the politically correct route, but I'll try you too. With last year, I think, being considered a successful season despite still not cracking that Florida-Georgia-Tennessee hurdle, is the program now at this point where you guys really got to beat at least one of those three, if not more, to have the season as a whole be considered a success?
To beat which three?
To be considered a successful season now that you've checked the bowl off the list, checked beating Louisville off the list. Do you have to get one of those three now for the season as a whole to be considered a successful year? Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, the top three.
I, you know, it's very strange for me to answer that question at this point, you know, in the summer, because you know, we're just worried about preparing to win games, to win every game, right? I mean, why would I concede one of those? If I said, yeah, we wanted to win one of them, do I just give up the other two? I mean, that's not the way we approach things. It's not even the way I can't answer questions like that, because it's just not the way I could even think about it. We're going to prepare to win every football game. Do I realize that that's a tall task? Absolutely. But I'm not going to concede anything. I think it's important to show progress. I think if you look at the three teams that you've mentioned, we've had good games with them, and then we've had some games when we haven't looked so good. You know, so I think it's really about us and our consistency. You know, we've had our opportunities. You look at last year's game, we didn't play very good at all against Florida, went on the road and just, you know, got our quarterback hurt on the second play of the game and looked terrible. You know, I think it was the year before. The last time we played there, you know, we really had a fantastic shot at winning the game, you know. So it's about us and our play and our consistency, you know, more so that I'm worried about what the other teams are doing, because one thing I know about the three teams that you mentioned is they're not going to take any steps backwards. They're well coached and they're working hard and they got good players.
Let's go here, left side, second row.
Matt Stevens, Montgomery Advertiser. Mark, I'm sure you've been asked about this constantly, but the decision that your brother made, can you walk us through how you found out about it, and kind of maybe more than anybody, you might be able to give us more perspective on kind of what his thought process was throughout the whole deal?
Sure. I found out it was in my office. He called me in the summer, and I was shocked. I was just said it in the main room, but when I got that call from him, I immediately walked out my back door, and I have a way to get right to the practice field. So I was just out on the practice field wandering around, talking to him on the phone, and I was shocked. You know, I guess what I described in there, and say it again, is I was shocked, but when you really sit back and think about it, not too surprised with it. You know, it is what he said it is. That's what I know. And, you know, Bob, you know, he's going to say and do what it is. There's no hidden meaning. There's no hidden agenda. He's been there for 18 and a half years, and it was time for him to walk away. I think what makes me feel proud for him is the success he had, and he's walking away how he wants to, when he wants to, and for whatever reason's important to him. And that makes me very happy for him and his wife, Carol, and his family. So that's just it. He had had enough. I think it's also, if you know anything about Bob, it's very important for him to hand that program off the way it is. How many people do you know? I'm not sure. I know there's been some that have walked away on their own terms with a good winning team. But that's Bob. I think it's important to him to hand off a team, to have his people in place as long as they can be, to have the continuity in place as long as it can be. His people that work under him are important. The university is extremely important to him, and they have a very good football team. And he felt the time was right. He seems very complacent. He feels very at peace with his decision to this point. But again, this is the time of year when he'd be doing the same things in the summer. So I'm sure, I think he knows it, and it'll be a little bit different when the fall rolls around. So I think it's just one day at a time for him. But it is what it is. And what he said and his message is the same message I have.
Let's go here. Left side in the front row.
Dan Matthews, GridironNow.com. Coach, are you confident that the program's mentality and the culture has changed?
Without question, the culture has changed. As I mentioned in years past, it's very easy to change a climate. You know, you walk in, you get a new coaching staff, you get some some rah-rah going. You may change your uniforms and, you to put some paint on the wall. And, you could change the climate of some place relatively quickly with some positive steam and some good hires and things like that. But to change a culture takes some time and work. And it's deep-rooted. It definitely takes a little bit more time. And I am pleased with where we're at. We're not satisfied. We have a long way to go. We know that. But we're taking steps in the right direction. Our players expect to win. But more importantly, they embrace the daily grind, the way they go about their business. And that's constantly what you talk about. You know, build, select, and develop. Build a winning culture. Select the right players. And intentionally develop them once they get on their campus. I mentioned it in the main room, and I'll mention it now. If you heard me talk last year, I talked about capacity. Our team needed more in the tank. We needed to stress them more. They needed longer workouts. They needed harder running sessions in the summer. We needed harder practice. But you have to physically be able to do that. You have to mentally be able to accept that and do that and have that attention to detail in the meeting rooms. We needed to stress them more. That came to fruition last year. We didn't start the way we wanted to, but we won 7 of the last 10 down the stretch. So we won some close games. It culminated with a big win against Louisville in the last game of the year against the Heisman Trophy winner, against our arch rival on the road. We were strong enough to withstand the year and the rigors of an SEC schedule. Much the same this year. Continue to build on that. Continue to get stronger. Be more consistent in our approach. And we're starting to do that. That's culture.
Right side here, second row on the aisle.
Continuing with that, Mark, you were pretty ramped up the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. You're putting out a ton of prospects in the state. You kind of go high with the Big Ten, kind of far from the Atlantic. Any idea for the recruiting footprint and then what you're selling now besides the field?
Yeah, we've done very well locally. First things first, we take care of home. This past year wasn't a big year in Kentucky. This, not as big as it. We've always had good players in Kentucky, just not as many as some other states. But there's some good quality. I feel very confident and very comfortable with the recruiting we're doing in-state. I think you're going to see that in the next couple years, some fantastic players from the state of Kentucky. That will help us. That helps every program if you could start at home. Then what's helped us is to go so close to go to Ohio because of the proximity of Ohio, southern Ohio, Cincinnati, and that's right across the river from us there. And you could get to so many schools up to central Ohio. And then my connections and Coach Morrow's connections to northeastern Ohio, it's been very successful for us. We have to go into the deep south still. You know, there's great players in the south, but we have to go in there. But it's been our little niche to grab some great players from more of the Midwest area because of our proximity to the SEC schools. And then because, as you know, I could come down here. You give me 50 of the top guys, I could get down here, and then we're going to be pretty darn good. But those are some real challenging battles. We're not afraid to have those battles. We're not afraid to mix it up. We've just got to be smart in where we're drawing guys from. We've started, locally. We've expanded into the South, of course. We've done very well in Florida this past year. And now we're starting to branch out into some other areas up into Michigan. We've done good in D.C., which isn't too far from us. So I really want to compliment our staff. I think our staff has done a wonderful job of working exceptionally hard and identifying talent early. That's been a very good niche for our staff, and I compliment them on their work ethic and their approach and what we've done in that area. It doesn't mean we're going to win every one of them, but we've identified some good players early, and we've worked hard at building relationships with them.
Looks like we have time for only just one last question. We'll go front row here on the right.
Michael Braddon from Saturday Down South. According to Steven Johnson, he's been told he'll be the opening starter. Can you confirm that?
Yeah, Steven has earned the right to be the starting quarterback. But again, just like, and I'll talk about this 100 times this preseason camp, it's just like the strong safety or the defensive lineman or, the offensive guard. If you're a returning starter, if you've done what it takes to put yourself in a position to be the starter, then you've earned that right. we have quite a few practices before our first day. Steven also knows that he has to go earn that job every day. And so a year ago when I was in here, the big talking point was, wow, it was really nice for me to be in here for the first time without having any quarterback controversy. Well, that didn't last very long. You know what I mean? So you know, he got hurt in the second game of the year, and now Steven comes in and does very well. So, of course, we have confidence in Steven. He helped us win 7 games and put us in a position to win some games. He's earned that right. But like every position, he's got to maintain that starting position. I expect Drew Barker to come back at full strength and play at the level that he was before, and Drew was doing some very good things.